I'm Fresh, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Confucius Jones and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop, Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways. No matter where you're from or where you stay, 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up, this is The Breaks. You could be anywhere but you ain't. You in, so let's proceed with the wave. 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up, this is The Breaks.
But we are The Breaks. I'm Fresh.
I'm Confucius.
And we have a jam-packed show tonight. We have a very special guest in the studio tonight. We got CP Looney in the building.
Yep. We're going to give him, of course, the interview only The Breaks can give, and also learn some more insight about him and his newest release. But, of course, we also give music news as it happens. And, of course, our three segments, Austin Music Experience, Unpopular Opinion, and Confucius Says. So, I got a question for you, Fresh. You're a fan of the Joe Budden podcast.
I am.
What's going on with him and Charlamagne?
The way he explained it, nothing really. His beef isn't with Charlamagne. His beef is with Netflix and how things panned out. So yeah. The whole Rhythm and Flow show, I guess before it went into production and before it aired on Netflix, Joe got a call from an executive at Netflix pertaining to the show and them asking him, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And Joe gave his opinion on it. Well, I like this. I don't like that. I like this and I like that. And I guess Joe and his manager, Ian, were thinking that Joe was going to be up for that position. Whatever show that they were going to do, which became the Rhythm and Flow with Chance, Cardi, and T.I., they were thinking Joe was going to be on that. Then they got the call that Joe didn't get it. We gave it to T.I. T.I. got it. And then Joe was just like, well, he was like, I wasn't tripping off that. He was like, I hate it for a little bit, but he was like, I'm not tripping off that. T.I. deserved that. It's Tip. He deserved it. I'm not going to hate on that. And then he found out, like, you know, Charlamagne ended up getting a show that's ironically called State of the Flow. And Joe was just like, well, that's odd. It's a panel of people talking. I do a show with a panel of people talking, also called State of the Culture. And y'all are basically on that show doing what I do on my show on Revolt. And then he was like, then he found out Scotty Beam got a show with Netflix. And it's like After the Flow or something like that. And it's basically a panel of people talking about the culture. And Joe was just like, well, Scotty used to work with me at Revolt on State of the Culture. And he was just like, it just looked fishy. And he was basically, he said he had this conversation with Elliot Wilson. And he was just, he said he told Elliot that he's not the one to be quick to just take the check. Oh, he was like, I know Charlamagne and them got the Breakfast Club. If somebody come to me and offer me a show and say, we want you to do this radio show called Breakfast Brunch. And he was like, I'm not finna do that. I already know that already exists. And I already know somebody that I'm cool with and I'm friends with is doing this exact same thing. And y'all kind of got this from them doing it. So that was his whole point, is that some people within the culture are quick to just run out there and take the check from the big conglomerate, the big Fortune 500 publicly traded company, and it look a little funny in the light.
I'll say this. Charlamagne reminded people, and he was not wrong, that at one point in time, years ago, him and Lil Duval had a YouTube show called Hood State of the Union.
I do remember that, too.
And he also reminded people that he was... that he had talked to Netflix before they had ever talked to Joe. When I listened to both of them.
That was another point. He said Charlamagne came out and said that he had talked to, Charlamagne didn't know anything about Netflix talking to Joe, and he had been talking to Netflix, and then, you know, then they just offered him the show. He did preface, like, before he started, he was like, I want to ask y'all some stuff, and I want to run it by y'all to make sure that
I'm not. It just sucks because Rory Mott always agreed with him on these type of things, especially Rory. Rory, I know the show has made it seem like the dynamic where they all kind of have their own opinions, but Rory, 9 times out of 10, is
agreed. Well, Mott kind of said, well, you really can't be mad. You can't be mad. You gave up too much information. He was like, you gave up too much sauce. That's on you. You got to live with that. Like, you was talking too much on the phone, And that's on you. You got to live with that, man. That's your fault that they got that. They ran these ideas by you. You told them what you liked. You told them what you didn't like. That's your fault. I think Joe, like he said on the podcast, he gets into his head. He sits down and he overthinks too much. And I think that's what that was. I think that was him sitting. I think that was him sitting down and seeing all of that unfold and then sit there and think, well, you know, it's awfully similar to what I'm doing. And yeah, I like, come on, man. I think that's what that was a case of. Like, Charlamagne doing State of the Flow. Well, his show and Scotty's show, from my understanding at least, are basically spinoffs of the competition shows of Rhythm and Flow. That's basically what their shows are. So it doesn't really fit what you do because they're spinning off and they're branching off of an already existing show. And you definitely don't do a competition show.
Yeah, I mean, neither one. They'll be over in a couple of days.
They will. They'll be laughing about it on Twitter or Instagram or something.
Yeah, because I think Joe kind of just forgot at the moment. Like, hey, Charlamagne's kind of already been doing this for a while. Like, this is not Charlamagne doing this is not new at all.
Yeah, and I'm with Maul. You said too much on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, so. You just gave up way too much info. You gave him too much sauce, bro, on the phone. And that's on you.
Yeah, be right. Austin Music Experience time. Austin Music Experience is a new segment that me and Fresh started that reflects on the music scene in Austin and our thoughts on it. This one I came up with on the way walking into the building was certain groups in the city that tout diversity or tout wanting to support or help the urban scene here, but are full of white people.
Man.
Like, okay, granted, this city is losing black people at a faster rate than any other city in the country. This city has a bad habit of silencing people of color when it comes to them trying to insert their needs and wants when it comes to different things, whether it be housing, jobs, music.
Which I really just read a great article on the whole urban renewal development plan back in like 99. So, like, yeah, it all fits.
But lately I've been seeing and just noticing like a lot of like organizations that deal with music in the city. They tout diversity. They promote hip hop shows somewhat. But when I look at their jobs, the pictures of people that work there, I don't see any black or brown people in those rooms. Austin music scene is growing. It's growing in a great direction. I think we're on a new renaissance, especially urban-wise. But, let me say this. In turn of starting this and being on the breaks, we've run into a lot of people who, yes, are gatekeepers in the city. And we notice a lot of them don't have any black friends. To me, if you're going to be diverse, if you're going to promote hip-hop shows, you need to have black and brown people a part of that. Because more than likely, people who are going to perform at the shows are going to be black or brown. Don't tell me about diversity if I look at a picture and I see them but white people. And if you go to a meeting that's touted as diversity and it's full of white people and you don't walk out, I question your loyalty to the
cause. Or you don't say anything while sitting there. Like, hey, I don't have a couple people of a certain melatonin hue in here.
What the? But anyway, that's my thoughts on it. What are your thoughts?
As I said, if you go to one of these meetings and you're sitting there and you're looking around the room and everybody's there has no pigmentation, you need to say something. If not, walk out. Like, one or the other. Like, you either just get up and say, I'm not going to participate in this, or say, if I'm going to be a part of this and we're going to be talking about diversity and inclusion, we need to really live by those words. Like you said, Austin has a great reputation of touting the words, that we're so inclusive and so progressive and so diverse. It just really means we like dogs sitting at the table at the restaurants. It doesn't really mean that we're really about the diversity. From what I've seen from my 30 years of living and growing up here, that's my experience. Now, when it comes to the music scene, I have an issue with, like you said, y'all promote all of these events. Y'all love the breaks. Y'all love what we do here. But we, or people who look like us, aren't necessarily in the rooms helping make decisions to push the scene forward. That's an issue, because don't tell me that, you want to do diverse things. You really want to help the urban music scene, but nobody from the urban music scene is from the urban community.
And I'm not talking about, like, don't give me a room of like 20 people and you say, well, we did invite some people of color and it's like two. Don't do that.
I'm all for allies. I love the fact that they support us, that they support the scene, that they want the scene to be bigger. But come on, you don't tell me that and then don't have any of us in the room or have any of us as decision makers. And like you said, don't say, yeah, well, we got some, but, you know, it's just these two, because then those two start looking like the tokens or just the designated ones. And, excuse me, that's not fair. That's not right. So you got to have more, especially if you're going to just be on camera on news stations touting that you're working on diversity. That's my piece.
I mean, that's all we got to say on that. That's all we got to say on that, so, you know. Say hi to the people, CP Looney.
What's good, Lil Looney?
Thanks for coming through.
Yeah, appreciate it really, on this very busy night.
And so awesome.
Really excited to have you through here, man. Your album rollout has been immaculate.
Thank you, bro. It's been one of the better album rollouts I've seen in the city.
Facts.
Man, I appreciate it. I'm honored to actually be here with the bros, people that been with me through my journey. I know Aaron Knight, man. He been knowing I've been doing music before I was even putting it out. He been on the Rebel Tape for about 3 or 4 years. Like, bro, what's up with that Rebel Tape? So, you know what I'm saying? I was glad I could finally put it out for him, man.
That's dope. This is an amazing tape, man. That intro is hard.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it.
Man, my business partner Ray was telling me, so you heard that CP Looney? I said, yeah, I've heard it. He said, that intro, I'm playing it right now. I was like,
man, that's what's up. Okay, so it's circulating, all right? I like to hear that, yeah.
So let's just dive right off into this, get things started, man. So what was the inspiration behind the Rebel Tape? Because I know when people hear Rebel, they think militant, they think Black Panthers, they think Malcolm X, they think riots. So what was the inspiration for you in making a project and naming it Rebel Tape?
I mean, just being the definition of a rebel can be like, you know, you basically, I would say the definition is like standing up and being to the opposition of, let's say, you say the government or whatever, but not necessarily for me. It's just rebel to me is being a leader, because I feel like as far as being a rebel and being somebody who's different, you got to be a leader. Right. You know, you're not a follower. So that was my whole thing of being a rebel, being a leader, and standing up for what I believe, and being in this music industry, trying to make it, but doing it my way and not having to be like everybody else. You know, I can build a new path for people that's like me, and show them that we can win and be true to ourselves without, you know, selling our soul or whatever you want to call it. You
right,
know,
right.
Staying true to who you are and still being successful. You know what I'm saying? So rebel to me is being a leader. So I stood on that heavily with it being my debut project and the introduction of who I am as a person through my music.
That's dope. So what is the CP Looney story? You know, the saying's always your first album is the chronicle of your life between when you're born until when the album drops. So what is the CP Looney story like? Would you go to school? You know, how was you growing up? All that type
of stuff. CP Looney, born and raised in Austin, Texas. That's where I got the CP from recently. I'm from Colony Park, Texas, 78724.
Oh, yeah.
Stand up, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. I knew Fresh was going to do that.
So, born and raised in Austin, Texas. I graduated from LBJ High School. I started rapping when I was 13. My dad, he had a record label, you know, an indie record label, where he had artists based out of Ohio, because that's where he's from. He's from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
So he had a lot of artists from Cincinnati, Ohio. It was like Wu-Tang. It was just like a big group of artists, and they were just going in all the time. And if y'all familiar with the boxer Adrian Broner, he was actually a part of that at one point in time, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So we got a little history.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But so he started his record label, and one day I just came home from school, and it was a in-house studio. And me being the person I am, I'm like, I'm going to try anything that I see in front of me. So as far, you know, positive. So he was like, hop in the booth. And it started from me just freestyling all the time. He wasn't even really recording me. I give a lot of credit to my pops, because when I started rapping and wanted to take it serious, I probably recorded over 100 songs before he actually recorded me and put it out. He was like, if you want to do this, then you got to make sure you're ready.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You're not just gonna great be advice. Doing this. So I credit him for a lot of the success I've had recently, you know, because just instilling that, you know, whatever you do, even if you want to be a janitor, you're going to be the best janitor in the world.
Yeah.
So with you doing it as long as you have done it and at the point where you are now, what would you say, if any, are some of the hardships you had to face with being just here in Austin in the industry, creating music, trying to find your way and all of that?
I would say, first of all, is the hardest thing I had to deal with is myself, battling myself, because, you know, it's like we naturally got that mind, right. I mean, that voice in our head telling us, you might not be good enough, you know, people might not like it. You know, when you try to do something you really want to do, you just always got that negative voice in your head. And that was my biggest fear, learning how to overcome that. To be successful, you have to be fearless. And I'm at that point now where I don't got that little voice in my head no more. I got a positive voice. Like, whatever happens, you're going to have obstacles.
Right.
You know, you're going to have hardships, but you got to keep pushing. It's not losses, it's lessons.
So you're a long time Austinite. Thank you, by the way, because we don't meet that many, not that many of us anymore. Yeah. What do you feel about the Austin hip hop scene? Because you, just like you, me and Fresh, you've seen it all your life. So what do you feel? How do you feel about it now? And how did you feel about it before you got into the game?
It's a lot of great artists. I think the Austin music scene is rising, man. It's especially like in the last couple years. Like 2018 was a good run for us. 2019 is a good run for us. I'm loving it. I love everybody in the city. Anybody that's doing it from the city, like, I got a lot of love for it. And I just feel like we just need to get outside that box and just network more and showcase who we are. You know what I'm saying? Because we got a voice too. You know, You always hear about Houston and Dallas when you come to Texas, but Austin has a voice too. And I just feel like we just got to be fearless and not be scared to show people who we are.
Yeah.
Like with this shit, I'm inviting people into my life, into my struggle. They gon' feel my pain, and when they feel my pain, they gon' know. It's a rebel story.
Now, it's time for our second segment of the night. Boy, that's a tongue twister. Second segment of the night. Unpopular opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
Yay, yay. Get my ice cube on. Get my ice cube on. We be clubbing? But no, that's not my unpopular opinion. My unpopular opinion. So I believe this took place last week. T.I., I'm not sure where he was. I just saw the headline, but I think he was on a podcast, or he was on his podcast, and he said the biggest thing that tainted his legacy was Iggy Azalea and supporting and standing behind Iggy Azalea. And I just want to say, Tip, what the hell are you talking about, bruh?
Yeah.
That's what... You think that's what tainted your legacy? I really want to sit down with T.I. and ask him, first off, what he thinks the definition of taint is, what his definition of taint is, and, bruh, you got arrested at the BET Awards for selling guns. You don't think that has something to do with tainting your legacy? You don't think some of them subpar albums has something to do with tainting your legacy?
You don't think telling your wife that were you an Oz and her to taint your legacy?
Like, bruh, you don't think all of that kind of played into taint? You don't think standing next to, what's the old boy name? Alpha Mega, the informant, tainted your legacy a tad bit? A tad bit more than Iggy Azalea? Now, I agree. Iggy Azalea couldn't shut her mouth after she put her foot into it and kept inserting it in there. But she didn't taint your legacy. And you don't tout that Travis Scott is still under you. That's what you need to be touting. Not that Iggy Azalea tainted your legacy. That's something that could probably remove that from your legacy. But since T.I. had to say that, I got some stats for you, Tip. Fancy, her Iggy Azalea single, peaked at number one. The song she was on with Ariana Grande, No Problems, peaked at number two on Billboard. Iggy Azalea currently has sold 48 million records and 22 million singles in the United States. Tip, I'm sorry, bro. That kind of helps your legacy after all the other stuff we ran down, bro. Like, as I said, she should have shut her mouth when she said a lot of the stuff that she said, but she kind of was helping you out there for a minute, bro, because... you weren't had, you didn't really have an album out, you didn't have a hot song. Like the Young Thug joint was like your biggest, has been your biggest song since in a while, bro. Like it's been your biggest one in a while. Like you, like the Us or Else EP was good. That was good, man. I even liked the whole, when you extended it and made it a whole album. You didn't need to make it a whole album, but I liked it. The last project you put out, what was it? The Nick Tape or something like that, or the Dime Pack or something, the Dime Trap or something like that. That was cool. But she kind of helped your legacy, bro. Like her and Travis, like, bro, you should be praising them more because they really helped you out. And I saw a lot of people trying to defend, like, and talk down on Iggy. It was some video that was making its rounds around social media, and people was like, you know, she spent all that money on that. She spent all that money on that video for that song to be unforgettable. But I'm sure that single is selling somewhere. People are, I'm sure somebody somewhere is streaming that single. She's still getting booked. She's still selling records. So, like, kind of helped you out, Tip. I'm just saying, bro, that's not what tainted your legacy at all. By far, that's not what tainted your legacy.
Granted, maybe he should have clarified and said it. Maybe, well, he did say that it tainted his legacy as a music executive, because I guess he was trying to say that the music industry still blames him for the rise of Iggy or whatever.
Do I need to read the stats again?
But I know, right? Like, nobody's the executive who signed Vanilla Ice ain't complaining about Vanilla Ice.
I'm just saying, like, Fancy peaked at number one. No problems with Ariana Grande peaked at number two. She sold a total of 48 million records. She sold 22 million singles currently in the U.S.
Hey, look, I'm not arguing.
Like, I'm still trying to figure out where his, like, where that tainted his legacy.
I guess he's talking about, because like you said, Iggy just put a foot in mouth a lot. I get that. It's just
Tokyo Jets tainted your legacy as a record exec, bro. I'm sorry. Tokyo Jets has gone nowhere fast.
No, Young L.A. tainted records.
That too.
That man got beat up on World Star.
Then tried to say, that's your partner. Hey, he was signed to you.
I saw that Grand Hustle Chain.
he was on the A&I remix.
Man, can you imagine if DJ Yola had stayed with him? I like DJ Yola.
Oh, man. Take me back to a simpler time.
That's what DJ Yola said, too. But, nah, I don't agree with Tip on that one, man.
Bro, like, you gotta chill out, Tip.
Like, don't say that it tainted your legacy. Like, ah. A lot of your storied career.
Yeah, that's a strong statement, man.
Once again, you told your wife about your affair and the other woman. Were you at odds with her?
That was your justification for sleeping with that woman that your wife hired, that you knew she hired.
That's wild. That's still wild. But yeah, you know.
That's the best justification I've ever heard a man say for cheating. That's just, were you at odds with her? But yeah, that's my unpopular opinion. If you don't like it, I don't really care.
Do you care any other time?
Nah.
Exactly.
First things first, I'm the realest.
Realest.
Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right.
And now we are at the point of the night. We are at our last segment where we get a little bit of wisdom imparted on us to help us with our ongoing lives. Here is Confucius Says.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Confucius Says time. Which, by the way, I will give you guys details later on. I'll be taking Confucius Says on the road, and by on the road, I'm taking it to a club in Austin. Or I'll be playing, you know, up-and-coming hip-hop and all that stuff for all you good.
You're going to be preaching.
I'm not going to be talking.
The good word.
Through my turntables. So come out and have a drink. It'll be happening sometime next month. I'll give you details. And no, Fresh will not be there. Me and Fresh do solo albums from time to time. So.
This is very true.
Well, Fresh will be there, but he's not going to be on the mic or anything like that.
Yeah, I won't. I'll just be there cooling in the cut, drinking. You know what I mean?
So. Shout out to that. But yeah, Confucius Says this week is about, okay, so let me preface with this. A few years ago, me and a friend of mine, Marcus J, went to Atlanta for the A3C conference, which just happened, I think, last week in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And we made it a point to go to a lot of panels. We went to a panel about artist management. And on the panel, one of the guys up there was Freeway's manager. His name is Blame the Label on Twitter. He's a Middle Eastern guy, very, very, very smart, very knowledgeable about the music industry. He was telling the story of when Kanye came. And so before he told that story, a guy got up and asked him why he was having a hard time finding management that understood that he was a visionary who was talented in many different things. The dude said he did music, he produced, he wrote movies, he did photography, all these different creative things. And so the dude, Freeway's manager said, he said, you know, I was a Rockefeller when Kanye got there. And Kanye came in talking that mess like, oh, you know, I can rap, I can produce, I can do all these different things. He said Dame and Biggs and Jay told him like, yeah, that's fine, everything. We just want the beats. Like, do good at the beats, and then we'll talk later. So the guy's point was that you need to conquer one thing really, really good first before you move on to other things. Not saying you can't still work on those other things, but don't come into a room with important people trying to run off a list of things you can do. Because that those important people need you for one thing right now. And so what I mean by knowing your place is just knowing your place in life. Okay, so I can DJ, and I feel like I'm pretty good at radio. I also went to film school for a little bit. But you don't hear about that much because going to film school don't pay nobody's bills for me right now. I know that in order for me to maybe continue my dream of getting into film, I have to get really, really good at radio and I have to get really, really good at DJing or just really, really good at other things like going on.
Put you in the room.
Exactly. So knowing your place in life is just knowing your strengths and weaknesses. A lot of you don't know your strengths and weaknesses. You think because, hey, I watch a lot of basketball, I can play basketball, or because I listen to a lot of music, I know music. And you really don't. You have to know where you land at in life. You're not meant to do everything. When you think you can do everything, that's when you end up wasting time and failing when you could have just honed in on the thing you're really, really good at and going from there. Being in music, me and Fresh run to people all the time. We talk to them about music. They start running off other things they got going on. And me, to be honest with you, I'm speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure Fresh agrees. I don't care. I really don't care. If we meet you as a rapper, don't tell me about you trying to start no web series. I don't care about none of that. Yeah, that's fine. Bro, send the music.
Yeah, I definitely don't. Especially if I'm coming to you specifically for the music and you start trying to sell me on something else you're doing, bro, I don't care. Just send the song, bro.
Once again, everybody can be good at multiple things. There's nothing wrong with that. Michael Jordan thought he could play baseball, but at the end of the day, Michael Jordan knew what side of his
bread was buttered. Granted, he wasn't that bad at baseball. We just didn't want to see him play baseball.
No, it wasn't that he wasn't that bad at baseball, just he was a way better basketball player.
That too.
So, he knew what side of his, he wasn't selling no shoes off. He wasn't selling no baseball shoes.
Nah, Nike wasn't giving him that deal.
So, You got to know where your strengths and weaknesses are, but that's just life. Understanding what you're good at, what you're not good at, and also knowing that when you're in a room talking to people about your strengths, hone in on one good thing that you can. I know I'm a pretty decent DJ, so I'm always going to talk about DJing. I'm going to talk about radio because I've proven myself in both those lanes. I can talk about that. Me DJing is not some unknown thing that nobody knows about. Me writing scripts is very unknown, so I don't talk about it. But for the longest time, when me and Fresh both had a music label, yes, we had a music label at one point in time, I didn't tell nobody about that because I was broken. I wasn't working in that field. I was working somewhere else. I looked like Sandler. You know I got a music label. I'm like, yeah, but you clocked in 5 minutes late today. That how that worked. But now I can tell people, like, I do radio. How do you know? Because it's my paycheck. And you hear me on the radio. Oh, I DJ. You went to a club and saw me there. Or you see my flyers. But a lot of y'all just do these little secret talent things that don't mean nothing, that nobody cares about. So, yeah, just know your place in life. And if you don't waste time, you can move forward in a great and productive way. And that's my Confucius says.
This week for Local Song of the Week, we have Drent with his single Make Your Body Say. Drent has been making waves in the scene for the last 2 years, performing consistently and releasing music on a regular basis. You can follow Drent on Instagram and Twitter at JustDrent. And now, here's Make Your Body Say by Drent.
Love wins tonight, we grow. I'm trying to make it right.
Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks Show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.